You are listening to the Point Harbor Church Podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
All right, well, we are just back from Peru. Oh, before I go there, though, we have this Saturday. What's happening this Saturday at the Houston House? The Beauties Feast, right? They changed the name. So the men's is the Beast Feast, and the women's is the Beauties Feast. See what they did there? Yeah. So the Beauties Feast is this Saturday at our house. We're way out in the country out there. And if you haven't signed up, ladies, 106 of you have. Yeah. But that's always a challenge for the men to beat you, because the men's Beast Feast is 2 weeks later. In the last 2 years, we have beat you ladies. I'm sorry. Not beat, you know what I mean. Oh. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Beat you numerically. And so, ladies, 106 of you, but there needs to be like at least 130 to beat the men, okay? So some of you procrastinate, ladies. Like if you got, well, I can't afford it. And if that's true, see one of us pastors, we'll comp you, okay? Because we want you there. We don't want finances to be. Now, if you got a lot of money, don't be trying that. But they're going to have a good time, all right? You ladies always have a great time. It's catered by the Virginia Diner. The manager of the owner, one of the owners comes to our church here. God love him. And so they bless us with that. But some cool things, some connecting things, some lady things, you know. And I typically try to stay away. You know, but so anyway, then the men 2 weeks later. Now, men, guess how many of you have signed up? 18. So, and you bunch of procrastinating dudes, so get off your duffs and sign up, because we need to know. Guys, it's a whole hog, you know, that we do, and it is exceptional. And, oh, by the way, we're going to do it a little different this year, all right? Jose, Joselito, where's he at? Right there, are. Owns a restaurant over in, what, Virginia Beach, and he's going to put a Latino spin on it. Yeah, not sure what that means, but I've had his food, and it is awesome. So he's going to get together with our pig cooker guy, Rob. And there's Rob right there. And so they're going to do whatever they do. It's going to be awesome. So sorry, ladies. Sorry. But you got awesome stuff, too. Okay? Sign up. The whole thing is just sign up. All right? Sign up, you dudes. Sign up, you women. And dudes, let's beat the women. Okay? Numerically. All right. But greetings from Peru. Our team just got back yesterday, 10 of us. We were there for 9 days to minister to our two church plants. Now, if you're new to this thing, you're like, what's a church plant? It's when you plant a church. All right. Now, and I grew up in a like 100-some-year-old church. I didn't know that, you know, there were like churches planted in different towns. And then, you know, a mother church planted a daughter church type thing. And they grew, and I had no concept of that. So maybe you don't either, but it's a new church, two new churches in Peru. One of them's been there for 4 years, 5 years. It's kind of our model church plant, but we were doing this Book of Acts thing and doing this Great Commission thing, and we had an awesome time, and God did some really cool things. And I have pictures. Say, ooh, yeah. Excuse me. We had a ladies' conference, so some of the pastors' wives came, and they put together a ladies' conference. So there's some of them there. This is from the little brand new church there in Cusco. Here's Daniel Daniel, the pastor of it, translating Nancy's waxing eloquent. And they said the women, some of them were crying. You know, you women love to do that, right? And connecting, and oh, this is wonderful. And then here is Kathy Gallahorn. The Gallahorns came with us. She does our preteen ministry back there. And she's teaching. And several women, I don't know how many, trusted Jesus as their Savior. Amen? Yeah. Amen? You ought to be more excited than that. Like, oh, they're not going to hell. That's nice. All right. And then Pastor Dan was, he's like, Mary Poppins. Have you all heard of Mary Poppins? No. It's for the Rainy Day Fund. He was doing financial peace, Dave Ramsey stuff, a session there. Dan has written a book, kind of goes along with that. He actually signed books. He's like, the first time I ever as an author signed, they were lined up to have him. Pastor Daniel, please sign my book. He's like, I'd be glad to. So anyway, and it was an outreach. So new folks came that had never been to the church before. I preached on Sunday morning to this new church plant. They meet in a hotel. Room there, banquet room, And there was about 40 of them before you threw the rest of us gringos in. And then we discipled and mentored and strategized with, here's Pastor Danielle, here's Pastor Francisco, Dan, Tom, all the guys here. Now, somebody said to me, are you smoking a cigarette there? No, I'm not. That is my Apple pen, my iPen. Okay? So, it wouldn't be a Marlboro for sure on that. All right, it might be a Monte Cristo, but we'll, no. So, anyway, it was a pen. All right, so today's message is all about that. And I've been hinting about Point Harbor's next big thing and what we believe God is strategically and specifically calling us, this church, to do, which is going to take faith. It's going to take faith. It's going to take sacrifice. We can't do it right now. Which, I mean, if we could do it, then it doesn't take faith, right? So it's going to take real-time Christianity from real-time Christians. You're like, well, we're all real-time Christians. No, you're not. And, you know, some of you aren't even, you haven't trusted Jesus, and that's cool. It's cool you're here checking out Jesus, the Jesus thing. Awesome, awesome. That was me when I was in the Navy. Came to this church, you know, thought I was a Christian, wasn't. And trusted Jesus as a result of the ministry of this church years ago. So there's some of you like that. There are others of you, you're Christians, but you're not really real-time Christians. You know, you're just kind of, you know, playing at church. You might be going to heaven, but you're playing at church. And we want you to learn how to be real-time, have real-time Christianity. Amen? Say amen.
Amen.
God. Amen. Hey, say amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Better, better, better. All right, turn your Bibles to Acts 16. If you're new here, you're like, why? You're supposed to bring your Bible? Yeah, yeah, that's the cool thing. And in a lot of churches, and we've done this before, we had all the text on the screen, but then I started seeing a lot of you never bringing your Bibles because you're like, it's on the screen. So we want you to bring your Bibles, all right? There'll be some text on the screen, but I want you to bring your Bible. It's not a long passage today. It's Acts chapter 16. And I love to write in and underline and highlight in my Bible. That's just how I learn. That's how I remember. And so if that's you, I'll tell you what I did here. You don't have to if you don't want to. But, if you don't have a Bible, there's a blue one in front of you somewhere on the seat racks there. Grab that. And then it's page 1024, I think. And that's your Bible. So put your name in it. Bring it back next week, okay? So, all right, Acts 16. And we're going to pick it up in verse 4. Are you there? Say I'm there.
There.
Really? Is that all? Are you there? Say I'm there.
There.
Better, better. Okay. Some of you are lazy today. Need to speak into me because I'm tired. I've been to Peru. I don't know if I told you. I get my energy from you. So if you're all, you know, dead wood, then we're just going to suck today. All right. Ready? Verse number 4. All right. As they went on their way, underline each word. As they went on their way out to the side, I wrote the word go. That's what we're supposed to be doing. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them these churches they'd already planted for the observance, the decisions that they had reached or had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, the big mother church, and they had a theological argument. And then, you know, they said, no, you don't need it. If you're not a Jew, you don't have to be circumcised to trust Jesus. No, that's stupid. You know, just live the Bible, basically. So all the Greeks, the uncircumcised folks were like, dodged a bullet. And they did. And they were happy. And so as a result, let me see. They went on their way. I lost my page. Verse 5. So, now I put brackets around transitional words. So, in other words, here's what happened because of that. The churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So they were being discipled, and they were doing evangelism, right? Folks were coming to Christ. New Christians were being strengthened. Verse number 6. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Now, this next thing is weird. I underlined the whole thing. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And I circled Asia. So here's God saying, now don't preach. Don't evangelize. Don't teach. Whoa. At least not there. And then when they'd come up to Mysia, they attempted, so they're like, okay, well, that didn't work there. Let's go up north. They attempted to go into Bithynia, circle Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. No, don't go there. They're like, what in the world? So, bracket around so transitional. Here's what happened because we couldn't preach in two different places. Passing by Mysia, went by it. They went down to Troas. All right, Troas is right on the Aegean Sea. Circle Troas. I mean, they've come basically as far as they can without getting wet. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Immediately, when Paul had seen the, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately, double underline, he didn't wait around, we sought to go into Macedonia, circle Macedonia. Okay, that's God's will. Concluding, double underline, we got together and we said, well, yeah, here's what God's doing. That God had called us to preach the gospel to them, underline each word, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, I'm preaching today on this, and I've been anticipating this and excited about this and teasing you about this, where God is guiding Point Harbor, the 25 by 35, where God is guiding Point Harbor. This may be the most important message for our church that I preach all year. It might be the most important message for our church corporately that I preach for the next decade. And I don't think I'm being over the top, because it's going to set the stage for the next 10 years that I believe is God's will. Only 3 points today, but a whole lot of disclosure, a whole lot of anticipation, a whole lot of application to you and for you, Point Harbor. And what are we to be doing, Point Harbor? Now, we've been looking at this stuff all through the book of Acts, but some of you have been missing it, whether you're brand new to this church thing or you just, you know, don't have ears to hear or whatever. And so we're going to kind of lead into it and then ramp off of it. Number one, big number one, and we see them doing it. Our church does the going. Our church does the what?
Going.
Our church does the going. That's what we're supposed to be doing. A lot of you grew up in churches that didn't do that. They did the sitting. They did the meeting-ing. They did the singing-ing. They might have done the offering-ing, but they didn't do the going. And that's what we're to be doing. Matthew 28. This is called the what?
Great Commission.
All right, great. It's not called the Great Option. It's not called the Great Suggestion. It's called the Great what?
Commission.
And Jesus came and said to them, Jesus is getting ready to go to heaven. He's already died on the cross, been raised, resurrected, and now he's saying, hey, I'm about ready to go home. These are my last words. He came and said to them, all authority, all what? All authorities in heaven and on earth, I'm sovereign, has been given to me. Go therefore, because of all this authority, you are to go. I am authorizing you. I am deputizing you. And are you going to go and build big church buildings?
No.
Huh? Go and have bake sales for Jesus.
No.
What? Bingo. No? What? Make disciples of where? Hampton Roads. Your locale. Of all nations. That's our, and by the way, this make disciples in the Greek is in the imperative. What's the imperative? What does that mean?
Command.
It's not a suggestion, it's a command. So if you're a Christian, then you have been commanded to do this, and you don't do this, your church doesn't do this, you are what? Disobedient. You are failing. You are a loser. All right. Acts 1:8. That's the Great Commission in Matthew. Acts 1:8 restates it. And this is really the central text or the foundational text to the whole book of Acts. Acts 1 verse 8. Jesus said, be my witnesses. And then he tells us where. All right, Jerusalem. All right, your hometown. All Judea, home country. Samaria, people in your country you don't like. And to the end of the earth, the whole earth. We are to be going. Point Harbor has been going. Now, if some of you are honest, don't you know, raise your hands. And I'm not thinking of anybody, but I probably could. And I've been this. I've actually done early in, you know, when I was starting this thing. I just want to do ministry in America because I'm American and I want to reach America. You know, I was in college taught missions, but I didn't have a heart for missions because I didn't have the heart of Jesus. Some of you don't have the heart of Jesus. You got the, you know, some of you have the heart of a patriot. All right? But you don't have the heart of Jesus. And so it's all about America. And I'm not downplaying America. America needs Jesus. Hallelujah. You seen it? Right? But not just America. Jesus didn't say, go to your home country first, and then when you get that fixed, then no. It's basically as you're going here to Jerusalem, then go to Judea, as you're going to Jerusalem, as you're going to Jerusalem and Judea, go to Samaria, and as you're doing that, go to the whole world. Our job, our commission is to do the going in our Jerusalem. That's Hampton Roads, basically. Our Judea is Merca. All right, that's our country. In our Samaria, that's people that you don't really like who live close to you in Merca. And then the ends of the earth is outside of Merca. Yeah, I just like saying that, Merca. Look at today's text, all right? You look back in your Bible, it's going to be on the screen. And they went. What is that called?
Going.
They went on their way, not on vacay. They're on a mission. They are commissioned through the cities. And usually they got beat up everywhere they went, right? Last time they got stoned, and that's not with the, you know, a reefer. That is with rocks. I mean, like, well, I'm just like Paul. I got stoned. Different. They went on their way through the cities. The churches were strengthened in the faith. So they were discipled, and they increased. Two, they increased. They were evangelizing, giving the gospel to new believers, or to people who weren't believers, who trusted Christ. Paul and Silas, and now to young Timothy, have been going. And we have too. Just got back, like I told you. Several of you, and I hope you're kidding, have said to me, man, you're always going to these, you know, Latin American countries. Looks like a lot of vacation to me. Now, and I always go, ha, ha, ha. But that tells me you don't know me very well at all. Why, John? Why? Because you, because do you know what vacation is in my book? It's 2 weeks in my shop out in the country with my cell phone turned off. That is the perfect vacation. Amen. Robin comes out and goes, we're on vacation. Can't we go somewhere? I'm like, Smithfield? She likes to travel. I do not like to travel. I like getting there. I just don't like the destination, the traveling part of it. What don't you like about it, John? TSA. God love them. If you were for TSA, then God love you, and I just don't like you. No, but I don't like, and my staff does. John just doesn't like being told what to do, you know? I grew up on a farm. When we were getting ready to slaughter the animals, we would put them through these chute things. That's TSA. It is. That's customs. We were in Lima, Peru, and three long lines were like there, and I almost did. I was good. I did, but I almost went. That's what I feel like. I just, And then you get up there, finally get up there to the thing with all your clothes. You know, you're supposed to put this and take that. Sometimes you take your shoes off. Sometimes you don't. Take your belt off. What if my pants fall down? We don't care, sir. Then you go to this thing. And I, not always, but a lot of times I go, is this going to give me cancer? And they're like, trust us, sir. And I'm like, you're the government. I've made that mistake before. So, I don't like that part of it. I don't like the small center seat for 6 hours. I just don't. I like the aisle. Typically, we get an aisle seat because Jose likes his paycheck to cash. But something went wrong. He said, well, we got the middle seat. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, I've suffered like Paul. And so I pray. Now, this is bad, but you have not because you asked not. So I'm praying. I'm sitting there and I'm watching all the folks coming on. I'm like, dear Lord Jesus, make them small and quiet. Small and quiet. So I don't like traffic. I like getting there. Then why do you do it, John, if you don't like it? Why? Because people need Jesus. And churches need planning. And pastors need training. Because for me in Point Harbor, it's God's imperative. It's not optional. If we're not doing it, we're disobedient to Scripture. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you don't get that. We've been doing it here for almost 20 years at Point Harbor. We've shifted around. We used to, you know, kind of just fund missionaries out there, and they would come to us. But we're looking at, okay, 20-some years ago. Yeah, that's. I think we're going to start doing it and going down there and finding someone who's a native of Nicaragua, you know? Because here's the thing, and I'm not against it all, gringos going and being, I've got friends who are missionaries. But when you're a gringo and you're a missionary, first you have to spend like 3 years in language school, learning the language, and you've got to raise sometimes around $1 million worth of support, you know, for those years getting on the field. And when you get to the field, guess what you are still? A gringo. Right? And so you're not trusted. It takes a long time. So we find someone who's a native of that country, who's a believer, and we partner with them. We put them on our staff, and we support them and go down there and train them. And it's been working really, really gangbusters, all right? Not to say we haven't had our problems, because when we go, 20 years, we've slept in huts in Nicaragua, you know, without air conditioning. Americans, that's not fun. Without fans, without even windows that open one time on the river. The Rio Coco River. And we're just like, oh dear God, I'm gonna die. Like, they're gonna bury me in Nicaragua. 3 seconds later, we were so exhausted I was out. been outboard motors when we were going up the Rio Coco visiting those pastors, and then the rapids we went through and pulled this up, and we were, and they pull up the motor and there's only half of it there. Like, oh crap, this is not good. Stranded on the Rio Coco with no roads. We've got sick multiple times, had fluids exploding from all orifices. Pastor Dan had the dengue fever. He was moaning in his hut. I prayed for him as I walked by to lunch. Ryan Buck, I can't even tell you the story. It's so grossly hilarious. I do have, believe it or not, I got my limits. But he has a story about baseball, the scoreboard, diarrhea, and a family that he didn't know was there. Pastor Jose was once thrown in jail in Cuba. On this trip, Peru, 5 of our 10 team members got something at different times. You know, 2 of them thought it was the green juice. There's some things in different countries you just don't eat. Just don't eat. Don't eat the salad. No, don't eat it. Don't do it. No. Why not? You'll find out. Something happened. I don't know what it was. 5 of them out of our 10 got something. And I got permission. I got permission for this. Here's one of them. Poor Jessica. Aww. Calling Ralph on the big white phone. Just, I got permission, at least from Jose. They might have marital situations going on. Remember, fun times in Peru. Why put up with that? Why put up with that? Because people need Jesus. Because churches need planting. Because pastors need training. Because for me in Point Harbor, it's not optional. It's our calling. It's God's imperative. Amen? Well, John, you shouldn't be telling these stories. They're hilarious, but no one will want to come. Okay, don't come. I'm very serious. Don't come. What? No, I'm serious. Don't come. Mission ministry trips are not for everybody. I've realized that over these years. Not everybody should come, but you need to have a part. Amen. You need to have a part. Do this. Stay back here and pray. We always put that as last. Yeah, you know, whatever. You know, we can't do much, but I can pray. All right, then pray. Then pray really. Don't just say it. Pray. You have not because you ask not. God does. He does amazing things through prayer. That most of you, you got marital issues and you're trying to fix it by nagging or whatever, or dudes, the silent treatment. How's that working for you? Prayer can change hearts. And by the way, dude, when you're praying for her, pray, God, show me where I'm an idiot and change me first. Because I guarantee you, I love you, you're a man, you're an idiot. Okay? You are. You don't know her. I don't need to. I know you. You're an idiot. But she's, yeah, I know. She's, you know, Satan's stepchild, too. I get that. God can do wonderful things if we really pray. You have not because you ask not. That's just not one time. God kill him. No, that's consistently. Pray. So you pray. And we're going to show you that, and we're going to give you some at the end here. We're going to spend more time about it. And we're up in the ante in prayer. I don't know if you noticed that around here. We were up in the ante in prayer because it's so important. Stay back here if you can't go, and consistently give to support what Point Harbor is called of God to do, his goal for us. And then stay back here and serve in this church and help us to grow this church so we can keep it going and going bigger. And we're going to talk about that in a second. I do hope that in the future trips, some of you will, though, realize, okay, I can come along. It might be scary, and first time it is. But different fields are different. Like Nicaragua is typically harder than Peru. Peru's further away. Nicaragua, you can get more things, and it's a lot hotter and stuff like that. Cuba, you can be thrown in jail. So there's that, okay? I mean, we come and we think, okay, I hope we don't go to jail this time. And so you might not like that. You know, you're like, I'm not into jail. Okay, cool. But you can go. Most of you can go. And we're going to probably be doing more in the DR. The DR is probably going to be the easiest, closest, easiest, most Americanized. But a few years ago, we go to Nicaragua, and for some reason, our female translator, I forget what happened, but all of a sudden, we don't have a female translator. I know somebody who's a female who speaks Spanish very well. That's my mama. My mama in Illinois. She taught Spanish her whole life, and so we called her up like the day before we're going. Oh, by the way, my mama is 83 at that time. And she didn't bat an eye. She's like, oh, okay, oh, she got all excited. Oh, what do I do, you know? And so she gets here, we fly her in here, and then we fly down there, and mama's out there, and she's sweating, and my mama. Guess who was with mama on that trip? Miss Barbara DeLoach. Miss Barbara DeLoach is about 75, and she has to use a walker. She's a little lady with a walker. You're like, oh, I couldn't do that. I can't go. Oh, shut up. Go talk to Barbara. Tell her your story. You American weenie. American. So, but I do hope that it's life changing. It is life changing. And in perspective changing. So, most of the church in Antioch, realize this, most of the church in Antioch didn't go with Paul and Silas, but they stayed back and faithfully prayed, and they really prayed. They knew how to pray and financially supported what God called them to do. All of them together changed the world. So this ain't vacation, people. Say, ain't vacation.
Amen.
Ain't vacation. Not to say it's all puking and potties. Nah, we have some good times, too. Sometimes we're into cultural appropriation. All right, they're this place way up in the mountains where these Quechuan Indians have this all traditional garb, but they're actually making it while we're there. Of course, they're trying to sell it too. So they said, oh, picture. Okay. Oh, no, put this on, put this hat on. I love Tom's things here. So they took our picture, and then we all bought stuff. So it worked for them. So we have some good times too. But our church does the going and carrying the gospel here and to the U.S. and in the world. And I preached the gospel at El Sembrador at the church there, you know, Christ died on the cross for us. He was buried in that grave for 3 days, and then he rose again, and he purchased salvation for you. And you don't have to join the church to get it. You don't have to do good works to get it. You don't have to get baptized to do it. You just trust what Christ has done on the cross. But I also was able to preach out in the city. They have this big city square in Cusco because there's a lot of tourists. So they got all these people selling everything. And you go out there and you have to learn Espanol. You have to learn Espanol. All you need is this. No gracias. No gracias. No gracias. No gracias. And if you say enough, most of them will leave you alone. But some of them are good. And they know if they engage you in a conversation, they got you. And so I learned that quick. And I'm like, no gracias. No gracias. I smile. No gracias. Gracias. And this one guy, though, he was really good. And he came down, and he had very good English. He said, oh, what are you doing here? No gracias. Oh, come on, man. I just want to talk to you. I know what you're doing. No gracias. I've already said more words than no gracias. He's reeling me in. I said, I'm a pastor. I said something else. I gave him more. So I told my husband, oh, that's great. Whoa, what church? I'm like, dang it. It's good. So he sat down, which is really scary. He's got all these paintings. What happened, John? I bought one. I'd say there 100 different guys I'd send no gracias to, but this dude was good. And it's a picture of that area right there. Now, he said he did it. I think he's a dirty liar because I saw the exact same one from, you know, Frederico a few hours later. But so he, you know, and I'm like, all right. But I said, you know what? I talked to you. I paid you money. And so now I want you to listen to me. Oh, okay, no problem. And he'd already told me he was Catholic. And I said, you know, Catholicism ain't going to get you to heaven, buddy. What do you mean? So I said, no, that's works and stuff, you know. Baptists don't get to heaven because they're Baptists. You get to heaven because you trust Jesus as your Savior. Oh, what is that? So I was able to give him the gospel and tell him I didn't pray with him right there because we were being approached by him. Now, once a gringo sits down and somebody's already sold, that guy's marked. I was marked. I had to leave. I really did. But he got the gospel. Several of them got the gospel. All right, so our church does the going. Number one, our church does the what?
Going.
Secondly, our God does the guiding. Our God does the guiding. Back to our text here. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. They were forbidden to do what they were, you know, doing, what they were supposed to do. And so, I mean, I'm sure they're like, what in the world, God? What are you doing, man? So, but God says, no, strike one. And so they attempted to come up to Mysia. They attempted to go into Bithynia. We don't know how he stopped them. Some commentators think that it was sickness because we go, and you, I don't know if you saw it in this text, it goes from they to then we. Now, who is writing by the Holy Spirit? Who's writing the book of Acts? Tell me.
Luke.
Dr. Luke. He's a doctor. He joins them. This is when he joins them. And so it could very well be that they're like, man, we need a doctor. People get sick. Kind of like Point Harbor mission trips. So they had to go to Bithynia. Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing through Mysia or by Mysia, they went down to where? Say it. Troas. They go down to Troas, right against the Aegean Sea there. And if you want to see it, I'm a visual learner. They start down here. Here's Jerusalem, Mother Church. Jerusalem, people come up here, plant a church in Antioch. Now Antioch starts planting churches. They send Paul and Barnabas and then Paul and Silas out. And so they go along here. They got church here, another Antioch. This is Antioch Pisidia. And so they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go up here and I'm going to go to Asia, Paul says. Oh, that's a big idea. Go to Asia. And God goes, no. Okay, well, then we'll go to Bithynia. No. So he just goes and skirts the boundaries, twink, and ends up at Troas. Been wrong twice. Probably shared it with his team. They're all wondering what in the world's up. God didn't start guiding until they started going, though, is the point. How can I find God's will in my life, Pastor John? How can I find God's will? You start walking with Jesus, and he won't reveal the whole thing to you right away, but he will reveal it step by step. That's how he works. Oh, I want to find the right man, Pastor John. I want to find a good, godly man. I wish God would just tell me. He's not going to. You start walking with Jesus, and he will guide you. If you're off this way, he'll go, no, over here. That's what he's doing to Paul and Barnabas. That's what he's done to me. That's what he's done to Point Harbor. You can't move somebody who ain't moving. But when somebody's mobile in trying to find God's will, God shepherds them back and forth. What job should I have? John, I'm praying. I'm sitting at home watching reruns of Oprah, and I just waited for God to give me a job. Well, you're a dummy. You go out there and start knocking on doors. You make it your job to get a job. 40 hours a week. I'm telling you, I can't find a job. Well, I won't say mean words, but you're not trying. I'm praying God will send me a job. I'm waiting by the phone. Well, you got a mobile phone. Would the mobile phone go out there and start putting in applications? I got the best job of my life that I hated the worst. It was cutting steel. And I was starving in Bible college back when the economy was going to. And there was this, I knew this one place, was there a steel cutting plant? And I knew some guys had been hired. And so I went there. And the guy said, no. And I knew he was a Christian. Didn't know him, but I knew he was a Christian. And I said, hey, man, I've been in the Navy. I got out of the Navy and I'm studying for ministry. I'm a hard worker. I've had my own company. And he said, no, we're not hiring. So what did I do next week? Went back again. The next week, went back again. The next week, he just got tired of seeing my face. Gave me a job. This is some of you. You need to be mobile. And then God will start getting mobile, trying to find God's will. And if you're in the wrong place, God will move you. He's able to move you. Amen. God doesn't start guiding until you start going in his will. Well, how can I find the will of God, John? How can we as Point Harbor, we started going and he started guiding. That's what we've been doing for 17 years here. Point Harbor following God's will. You're like, well, how, why are we where we're at? We looked at that. Why are we where we're at in the area of the country? Because God said, the area of the world, God says, go into all the world. Well, we can't go into all the world. Our church is not big enough to do that. But if all the churches are doing that, then the world is covered. I mean, you could go to China, or as my people say, China, right? Germany. Somebody just got that. England. but no, God threw, and I don't have time to go into it, but here we are. Let me make this thing so you can see a little better. We're up in Hampton Roads. Say Hampton Roads. But God says, go. All right, where do we go? A lot of directions to go. Well, as we're praying about it, okay, God, we want to find people who are already ministering that we can then bring on our staff, but they do it in their locale. And where is that? Where should that be? And we found a guy down here named Earl Bowie, Pastor Earl. Through his, I don't have time to go into it, but a lot of prayer and just, going and making mistakes. And he's a guy who's pastoring churches. He's training other pastors. He had orphanages. So now we're going down there to meet with Earl. And then back up here, a dude comes into our church. This is him. Looks exactly like him. His name was Jose Morelos. And he comes to our church. He's like, hey, I need some money. He had a missionary thing going on his own. And he's like, hey, you know, and he's just checking other churches. And then Tom and him start talking. I didn't really meet him, I don't think, for a while. And he's liked our church. And so he's like, I think I'll start coming. He lives over in Newport News. I think we'll start coming here. So they start coming here. And then he's like, I like what they do. I like what God is doing. So then he comes on staff part-time. And then he comes on staff full-time. The dude, because of his history and his past, has a ton of mission. He was involved in mission networks and all that stuff. He's got a ton. Matter of fact, he knew Pastor Earl before we did it. Interesting how that works, huh? And so then we brought him on staff, and now he's like, yeah, man, you know, he's got all these connections. He said, I feel that, you know, I've got some connections in Peru, and that would be awesome. And I said, no, you know what, we're not, I don't think it's time yet. He, you know, for 3 years, he's like, what about Peru? And finally, we're, okay, we go down there, and we find a guy named Francisco, and that wasn't the guy we were going to see, but and now he has a son named Daniel, and we ordained him to the ministry, and they planted a church here and planted a church here. And in Nicaragua, Pastor Earl knows a lot of pastors, and we found a guy who's in Esteli, and so he's on our staff now in Esteli there, cigar capital of the world. And then we, Jose, say Jose. Jose knew a guy in Cuba, that's how my people say it, Cuba. And he was a baseball, professional Cuban baseball player that trusted Jesus. God started changing his life. And the Cubans, I don't know if you know that, the government, they don't like Jesus too awful much. And so they said, you can't play baseball anymore. And his name is Jorge. He's been here. And so Jorge went into the ministry. And we said, hey, why don't you plant a church for Point Harbor? And we'll put you on our staff. And so we've got that going on. What else we got going on here? Oh, yeah. And then we're looking for somebody to do it right here. All right, because Jose is way too busy. He's always traveling around. And who can we find? We looked at seven dudes. Say seven dudes. Seven dudes, and we're finally, we're about done. And Jose especially is like, I don't want any more dudes. And he found out about this one dude who's named Victor. Victor. And we talked to him, and said, we're like, wow, all right, this is the dude. So he comes here, and he's planted El Sembrador. Hampton Roads. By the way, I should say this. Didn't say this in the first service. All right, you tracking with me?
Yes.
All right, five of you. All right, anybody? You tracking with me? Say track. All right, try to help you out. All right. El Sembrador. You're like, oh, I'm new here. El Sembrador, what does that mean? It means the sower. The sower. A sower went forth to sow. Okay? That's what it means. Because I, in my mind, it's like Point Harbor, Point Harbor, Point Harbor. El Point Harbor. Point Harbor. Guess what? We have a lot of churches in the mountains. They're like, what's a harbor? I'm like, oh, never thought of that. And so our first church that we planted, Francisco goes, I like El Sembrador. That's how he said it. And I'm like, what does that even mean? The sower. I'm like, oh, okay. So the first church, and then we just started, you know, all the rest of them are El Sembrador. So it's like, is that a denomination? No, it's not. It's just, it's what we're doing. It's how we're rolling. All right? Say, it's how we're rolling. So God has been leading us and blessing us, redirecting us. We don't have to, in other words, we don't have to wing this thing. Right? We're already having influence here, you know, and there, and people are coming to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But we also are looking, where's it at over here? It's over here somewhere. What's it called? DR? Dominican Republic too, coming in the future. So our church does the going, our God does the guiding, and then here it comes. Here, I'm getting ready to explain it to you. All right, God's guidance provides our goal. God's guidance provides our goal. You're like, okay, John, I'll bite. How? Where is God guiding us now? Because I know you've been setting this up. You've been teasing us for a long time. I'm getting irritated. Just tell us. All right, but we're praying about it. I didn't want to tell you before I knew it was from God. Amen? So, sometimes God shuts you down to show you his new direction. Full stop. That's what he did to Paul. And his team twice made Paul probably look bad in front of all his boys. All right, it's going here, I'm going to go there, and then we're going to go here, and then we're going to go here. It's going to be awesome. God says, no, no. Going here. Paul got it wrong twice. And, you know, we've done that as well. Sometimes God brings you to full stop to show you his new direction. And Paul, I'm sure, is shaking his head going, well, what in the world? I'm trying to serve you, God. I'm trying to do your will, and you're closing doors, and you're making me look bad, too. God shut me down 2 years ago. If those of you that are here, that I almost died. Had got meningitis. You know, I was in the hospital for 8 days. They said it came within an hour or two of dying if I hadn't gone to the hospital. And when I was recuperating from that, having lost 2/3 of my hearing, which still hasn't come back, God was using it to give me kind of, I think, a hard ministry reset. And, you know, and I'm like, what was that all about, God? What was that? And I even, you know, okay, all right, you're changing things. Am I done here at Point Harbor? I asked him that. You have to ask that. Are you done with me? I hope you're not. I've always said, how many more years?
Ten
more years. That was 2 years ago. I'm still saying 10 more years. What was that? I'm trying to do your will, God. You know, I'm preaching your word, and you almost kill me. And then before that, a little bit before that, Pastor Jose had a similar gut check, got COVID, and almost died in the hospital over in Newport News, Hampton. Ministry hard reset. And as I sat there in those early AMs, because I couldn't sleep because I was on drugs, you know, I'm up at 3 in the morning, and I'm just wide awake. And I'm like, all right, what is this? More emphasis on doing your... Is my microphone just dying?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Because I can't hear very well, all right, Satan, get thee behind me. Thank you, Dan. Apostle Dan, there we go. All right. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm like a TV evangelist. You see how those guys... Those, I can't... Get my white coat... but this just kept coming to mind. 100. And I'm like, 100. You know, we've got, right now we got a few, but that's taken us years. So, all right, if I'm hearing you right, I pray that I didn't tell you folks, because I didn't tell anybody. Because I'm praying about it. I want to get it right. I don't want to just say something that God told me. So many people say, God told me this, God told me that, God told me to marry her, you know? And he said, no, I didn't see this. See how that worked out for you. So I wanted to get it right. So God, if I'm hearing you right, 100 churches, how is that possible? You know, I don't know. So then I finally told Tom and Dan, you know, because you got to tell them sometime. And then they knew I was wrestling with it. And I said, this is what I'm getting. This is all I'm getting. 100. So they went away like Tom and Dan do, you know, and they started talking. They're detail-oriented. I'm not detail-oriented. I'm big vision, you know. I just give them the vision and say, do it, make it work. And so they came back with this. 25 by 35 equals 100. Now you're like, I've been to school. But it does. I'll show you in a second. And by the way, Pastor Jose came up with the same thing. Here's how, by God's leading. All right, and we have cool. We have a cool graphic that Jessica has put together for us. 25 churches by 2035. 25, we have, not to go in the weeds, we have level one churches, we call that. Those are people, the pastors are on our staff. Francisco, Danielle, Jorge. We pay, we fully support them. But we teach them to give, and so that in their giving, they are planting baby churches. Say baby churches.
Amen.
They are planting 3 each. That's our, hey, you. Here's the thing. Most churches in America have never planted a church at all. At all. Many of you grew up in churches, and you're like, church plant, what's that? Yeah, see? But we're called to do that, to replicate ourselves. A healthy church is having babies. Baby churches, amen? And so, you have 25. All you need is 25 of them. They, over the 10-year process, they have 3 babies. That they are accountable for. Now these baby churches are like our grandchildren. I have grandchildren, but praise God, I don't have to support. Amen. Now if I want to buy them a gift, and we do, because I'm married to Robin, we buy them stuff. But you know, if they have issues, who takes care of them? Mom and Dad's supposed to. So these churches, the level one churches are going to be taking care of them. Now if we want to buy them a Christmas present, or whatever, as the grandparents we can, but we don't have to. Say hallelujah. 25 plus 75, back when you were in school, equals what? 100 total at Assembly Door churches. So we don't have to plant 100, we have to plant 25 that are fertile. Amen? And they plant these other churches. Now I realize that that's not gonna work out perfect, and then you know, Paul had, all the New Testament letters are Paul saying, church, you're screwing up. I need to fix you. 1 Corinthians, whoo, ha! He planted that church and he's like, man alive. I gotta send them a long letter, straighten them out. So it's not gonna be perfect, okay? Already we've got different issues because we have an enemy. Satan's not like, whoa, that's awesome, you're planting churches. No, he's like, oh, they're taking my territory back. Here's how it works, all right? Here's Point Harbor, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, see all the people right here, but these people need to get off the pews and help finance and fund and pray and go. And so we've already got six of these. Two, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. Woo! I know, right? It just flows out of me. We've already got six. We have two in Peru. Andahuaylas has 140 people. That's bigger than the average American church, all right? And they are planting a baby church out of that. Actually, Cusco's come out of that. Cusco's got 40. That's the average church plant in America, basically. We're looking at two more major cities that they would be baby church plants from these. And then we've got two in Nicaragua. Hinotega is 45. We got 45 people there. That's small. And then another one here in Esteli is about 20, 25 people. So those are babies. And we're looking at some cities there. We're already in Cuba, in Havana. We've got 90 people in the back of Jorge's yard, which is bigger than the average American church by about 5 or 10. He already, I didn't know this, has two different church plants meeting, 20 people each that he's also taking care of. So see how it's, and then Hampton Roads, Pastor Victor, say Victor. Victor, Victor. All right, that's how you say it, E-V-Tor, right, see? All right, so, and we're looking at other cities as we get bigger. So, that's how. Hope you're tracking, are you tracking?
Yes.
All right, good. We went, and Kathy Gallahorn and John Gallahorn came with us on this trip to Peru. And Kathy's daughter, Riley, was a little concerned, you know, because mom and dad are going. They're both going. They're going in this airplane and all that stuff. And there's all the airplane stuff in the news nowadays, you know. And so she's concerned. And Kathy said, Riley, don't be concerned at all. Why not, Mama? Why not? Because she said, Pastor John told, you know, Jesus told Pastor John he's got 10 more years, so we'll be safe. And I'm like, awesome. Now, if I die this afternoon, all right, here's the thing, and I'm serious about this. This is not John's vision for John. This is the vision I believe God has for Point Harbor.
Amen.
So you need to keep going on this thing, all right? Oh, how are we going to die? I'm getting there. So how can we do it? How can we do it? Can we, at our size, do this? No, we can't. We can't. That's why it takes what?
Faith.
So what does that mean? Somebody says, I know what it means. Pastor John, go to hit us up for more money. I know this man. You're going to ask me to increase my giving. I'm already giving. I'm already tithing. I'm already giving sacrificial to missions already, John. And amen, bless you, and may God increase your tribe. All right? So that's not what we need to do. That's not ultimately what we need to do. Remember, this is over. How many year period?
10 years,
a decade here, right? Starting 2025. What we need is, yes, we need more givers. That's what we need. It's more givers. Many of you, and some of you here, you haven't jumped in. You've not jumped in yet. And so you need to get on board. But how many of you are, you have a dog. You're a dog person. You got a dog. Come on. Dog, you love dog. I love my dog Fido. Okay. And here's the thing, and this has always hit me. This, you buy your dog, and if you love your dog, you buy him Blue Buffalo. Something like that. 30-pound sack, $69.
That's it.
Because you love Fido. Now, if you don't, if you're just kind of fond of your dog, you buy him Old Roy. This is about $29 for a bag that's twice as big. You're like, yeah, I'm just kind of fond of this dog. So, and then you're like, and then you feed him Old Roy all the time, and then your dog dies. And you're like, Pastor John, am I going to see Fido in heaven? Some of you are going to, the first thing you're going to say when you go through the gates of heaven is, Jesus, have you seen Fido? Did Fido make it? And Jesus is going to slap you across the face. I hope he does. Because you've spent, some of you, you've spent $29 a month on Fido or $69 a month on Fido, and you never given one dime to missions, the heart of Jesus.
I would take that as a gut check. Seriously, some of you are going to go to heaven having spent a lot more money on your pets than keeping people out of hell. So, I don't think Jesus will slap you, but he probably won't talk to you for 1,000 years or so. But also, so we need more givers. Those are here, but we need more people. We need more people because we can't do this with our tents. We're attending, you know, averaging around 700 and stuff. We can't do it at a church this size at 700. So we can fulfill God's specific, I believe, to Point Harbor, ramping up mission of 25 churches that we fully support. And so Pastor Dan went to his, you know, spreadsheets and calculations because he loves that stuff. And I said, Dan, how many more people are we going to take if they give at the amount that our folks are giving now? And by the way, you folks are a giving church. This church, even though we're more blue collar, we're some white collar, but you know, we're not rich people, most of us. And this church gives sometimes twice as much as the average church in America. So give yourselves a hand. All right. But at if we just kept the per capita giving, how many more people would we need? And Pastor Dan came up with 481 peeps more, just like you, 481 more to fund what we need. Now, again, not next week, but this is ramping up gradually as we plant these churches. And you might go, well, John, are you trying to, you know, have a big church so you can brag to your pastor buddies? All my pastor buddies are on my staff. So no, I'm way past that stuff. You know what would be easiest for me at 65? Honestly, coasting, being satisfied, doing less, delegating more, gazing fondly at that thing people call retirement. That would be, honestly, at this size of church, I've got a nice salary. I'm not rich, but you folks pay me well and thank you for it. We got a nice building. We got a good staff. We got a wonderful congregation. I mean, this is going to up the ante. This is going to up the ante. It's going to increase the workload. It's going to increase the responsibilities. It's going to increase that thing that I despise, traveling. TSA-ing. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to grow to the point that we can, and some of you are like, oh man, I'm ready for it. I'm anticipating we're going to build a new building. I've been saying it for years. We need a new building. We need more space. Here's the problem with that. Build a new building. We need to build a bigger parking lot. We don't have the property with that. We don't. And a new building is going to cost $3 to $5 million. Yeah, you're like, you ain't so hot about that idea now, are you? So how do we do it? We use the building we got. But what do we do? Here's what, how. New Saturday PM worship service. New Saturday PM. How do you know if that's going to work? We did it before. It was our second biggest service. First was this service, then Saturday night, and then the 9 o'clock service on Sunday was third. It was that popular. Why'd you quit it? Because we, again, doing things and God going, no, over here. We were going to go into the movie theaters. Remember that? I don't have time to go down that road if you weren't here. We were going to buy that old Movies 10. We were talking to the city. It was exciting. So we started, we're going to quit our Saturday service and we're going to put people in that movie theater over there. What's that called? That one over there, the new one. Yeah, that one. Okay. We're going to put them over there. We did. We had three. We rented three of them Sunday mornings. We broadcast from here. I'm like, hey, I'm a TV preacher. Hey. And then we were going to put them all in Movies 10. And then the government, you know how I love government, the government of Chesapeake said, never mind. And they knocked it down. And I'm like, oops, missed that one. So that was, but when we were doing the Saturday service, it was gangbusters. That means, you know what? I don't want to wear our people out. Some of you are servers like, oh, dear Lord. Oh, I'm going to a Methodist church next week. I'm starting right there. They don't work a man. They don't work a girl. All right. And we don't want to overdo it. Now, some of you need to step up because you're just lazy. I love you. You're lazy. You're riding. The only impact you have on the kingdom of God is your butt prints in that seat right there. So some of you need to get on board. And here's an opportunity. Saturday service. We need whole new ministry teams. We need whole new musician teams. All right. So that means more of you serving, new people coming in. And it's easier to get on a new ministry team, too, than it is to join one that, you know, everybody's friends and you're the new person. Right. So we're excited about that. When we starting in January, February 2025, we're at 25 churches by 35, 10 years. See what we're doing there. You're like, but John, honestly, you talked about it, but you're 65. And a lot of folks are retiring at 65. And I know that. I love this by Emerson, the quote, the best tunes are played on the oldest fiddles. But I got Bible stuff. I got Bible stuff. Let me see if I can run it up here. We got Caleb. This is Caleb. And Caleb said, I am 85 years old. Give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. I know there's a lot of enemy there, and I'm gonna drive them out. I'm 85. Also, Moses. Moses was 80 years old when he spoke to Pharaoh. When he started saying, let my people go, the dude was 80 years old. Sarah, 90 years old. Abram, 100 years old when they had baby Isaac. Ladies. Any of you 90 years old like that? I wish I was pregnant right now. I'd just be praising Jesus. It'd be wonderful. Anybody? No, I didn't think so. Even you 40-year-olds are like, yeah, it's too late. Too late. We'll rent some children. But they impacted. You know, the whole Jewish nation came out of these dudes. I want to be like Simeon. You're like, Simeon, Simeon who? Simeon in the Bible, he's out there. There's a man, his name was Simeon. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death. He wouldn't croak before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. And so he's there in the temple. He's came by the Spirit into the temple. And Jesus' parents brought in little baby Jesus, took him up, and he just grabs him and takes him up in his arms. And somehow God tells him, this is the Messiah. And he said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. Lord, you can kill me now. I'm old because my eyes have seen your salvation. I told our staff, what I want is, I don't care how old I am, and I don't know if it's going to happen during these 10 years, but I want to, before I die, and this is my request to God, before I die, I'm going to be just looking out there, and they're going to say, hey, it's the 100th church. And I'm like, praise Jesus. That's how I want to go out. Whether it's 10 years or whatever. All right, I'm landing the plane, honestly I am. 25 level one churches, 25 by 2035, they plant baby churches equals 100. Somebody's thinking, my Pastor John, I thought the church was here so I could get saved and be discipled and learn the Bible and have my marriage fixed and have my teenagers straightened out. That's part of it, yeah. I mean, that's part of a byproduct. It's not the end product. God wants you to get saved, be discipled, you know, learn the Bible, have your marriage fixed, have your teen straightened out so that you can be a part of the church fulfilling the Great Commission, His heart, so that other people in other towns and other cities and other countries can get saved and get discipled and learn the Bible and have their marriages fixed and have their teen straightened out so that they can then plant the churches and keep it going. That's God's, that's the heart of God. That's the Great Commission. That's His calling. That's His command to us. The question is, am I going to obey Him? Are we going to obey Him? Or are we just going to make it all about us? Hey, let's build a bigger church building. Let's, you know, have, you know, this bigger and that bigger and this flashier. You know what, around here in Portsmouth and Suffolk and Norfolk, all these seven cities, a whole bunch of mausoleums that used to be amazing churches. And so then they got into, this is more about us. They didn't probably say that. And so they built bigger and bigger and bigger buildings. And it was impressive. And it went from the message to the museum to the mausoleum. And you drive past them, a lot of them aren't even churches anymore. And some of them, it's sad if you go in there and there's like 20 folks, all gray hair, in this huge building doing nothing for Jesus because they got it wrong. I don't want that to be Point Harbor. Amen. I don't want that to be Point Harbor. And so the question is, are we going to obey Him? Only you can answer that for you personally. And in a few seconds, I'm going to invite you up here. And I want you to come up here for corporate prayer. We didn't have it in between the music and the message because of this. This first time in these 10 coming years that God's church will pray corporately for God's power to do this for His glory. We've got testimonies. I want to have some time to share with you. But from Hampton Roads, El Sembrador, Hampton Roads here, and how there have been 45 people trusting Jesus in just a year here at Point Harbor, El Sembrador, amen.
Amen.
Marriage is restored. In Andahuaylas, Pastor Francisco, you know, tells amazing stories. In Cuba, Jorge talks about reaching these folks and starting these new, I mean, things are just going on. Then in the heart of God, I believe, because I compare it to the Word of God, is pleased. These testimonies are the result of our going and your giving, and especially the result of our praying. So as we kick off this new 25 by 35 initiative, we need to do so with prayer. Prayer is not the last thing. It should be the first thing. It should be the first thing. So I'm going to invite you to come. Let's all stand. Stand with me.